Were in church a couple of weeks ago, that little video clip would be familiar to you. And you remember the word that covered that video? Metamorphosis. All about transformation. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. We're going to continue on that theme of our intimate relationship with God. So remember, God created us for himself and to be in a loving relationship with him. That was his plan from the beginning. Go right back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were meant to be in this loving relationship with God. But then came the disobedience and the fall. But God's intention for us, even today, is to be in a loving and intimate relationship with him. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about that relationship with God being two-dimensional. According to Scripture, we live in Christ and he lives in us. The last message was all about us living in Christ, and we looked at that scripturally. Today we're going to look at the second dimension. Christ lives in us. What does that mean? Well, primarily we're going to see through that scripture reading this morning that it's about experiencing the love of Christ, the love of God in us. Let me step back for a moment in terms of scripture. Does God really want an intimate relationship with us? Well, let's pick up on Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, verses 20 to 21. Here is Jesus praying to his Father. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That includes us here this morning. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Here's the key verse. May they also be in us so that the world may believe you have sent me. Now, if we look at the Trinity, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, three persons in perfect unity. And what does Jesus pray here? Father, I pray that they will be like us. That intimate, that perfect unity. That's what Jesus is praying for. That's his heart. Father, that they be one like I am in you and you are in me. That's a perfect relationship. That's what Jesus desires for us. Why? Why is this so important? So that the world comes to know Jesus. It's through our transformation. So we looked at this very briefly, the old self, the new self, the work God does in us by his Spirit. We are changed, recreated. So Jesus says to us this morning, as recreated Christians, go into the world. Why? So that people will be able to see Jesus through you. Because my love will flow out of you. My light will shine out of you. Because I live in you. So that's God's desire for us in our lives, daily lives. Let's go back to this morning's reading. Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to emphasize a few words here as I work through this. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Just imagine for the moment, we've got layers of being right at the center. The very center is our inner being. So what is Paul praying here? That the Spirit impacts, lives, dwells in that inner part. And God the Spirit is part of the Godhead. So the moment the Holy Spirit lives in us, there's that unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together in us. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that being, very important words, rooted and established in love. So there we start. The indwelling Holy Spirit means we have this love of God rooted and established in us. May have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. So what does Paul do? He looks at this love and he says it's multidimensional. So he's praying here that Christians will come to understand those dimensions of God's love. And we're going to spend some time on that this morning. And then he goes on to say, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So what is this all about? It's about Paul praying for Christians and saying, may they come to that intimate relationship with God, where the Holy Spirit lives in them, and right in the innermost being, in their hearts and in their souls, we are rooted and established in God's love. What do we learn from Scripture? God is love. So the moment God dwells in here, love dwells in here. And that's what Paul is praying for. That all of us come to that place where we experience the power of that transforming love. Very briefly, the video you watched a few minutes ago. If you think about the cocoon, that energy that's moving in the cocoon and doing the transforming, that scripturally is called the transforming power of God's love. That's what he does in our lives. He's changing us as he lives in us, moment by moment. So the first thing that Paul's praying for here is that Christ's presence is in our hearts and is firmly established there. But then he goes on to say, in that place where Christ is in our hearts, living in us moment by moment, he's praying that we come to understand and experience the fullness of God's love. And here we're going to look at those dimensions. The first one that he tackles is the width. How wide do you think God's love is? A bit wider than the church? Wider than the whole world? It's the whole universe, actually. There's no measuring God's width in terms of his love. If we go to the book of Revelation, there's a beautiful picture of a multitude of people worshiping the Lamb of God, who is Jesus Christ. And the words that are used there are profound because it says people from all nations, tribes, tongues. It covers everything. Everybody on planet Earth. See, we come back to the truth of John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Everybody. You, myself, and everybody. That's how wide his love is. And we see that on the cross with his arms open wide to embrace the whole world. There is another element to this dimension of width, because it's so simple to look at the width as purely the numbers and all the people, but it's deeper than that. Do you know scripturally that God says he cares for every single issue, difficulty, problem that you have? Do you know that he's aware of that? If we look at Psalm 139, what does David say? See, David, according to scriptures, is a man after God's own heart. And he writes this, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Are you anxious about anything this morning? God knows. And he cares about that. And he says to you this morning, be reminded, I love you. So deeply that I even am concerned about those little issues, those anxieties and worries. Bring them to me. I love you. The second dimension, how long is God's love? And this one we can look in terms of time. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So does he love us just for today? No, he loves us for eternity. You see, his love, according to the scriptures, will never let us go. So for all Christians, we can stand on God's word here and say, no, he's not going to love me today and abandon me tomorrow. He's going to love me forever and ever. Amen. Even when this life ends and I move into a new chapter of new life in heaven, in God's nearer presence, he will still love me. And he will love me forever. That's an incredible promise, and that's in God's word. So what about the height of God's love? How high is it? Well, Scripture says Christ's desire for all of us is to become holy and blameless. He's going to take us to be with him in the heavenly places where we will rule and reign with him. That's his desire. That's how much he loves us. Come, says Jesus. Follow me. I am your righteousness. So before God the Father, we are right through Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus. And his desire is for us to join him in the heavenly places, to rule and reign with him. And then finally, what about the depth of his love? Well, this is probably the most incredible truth in the Bible. You see, Jesus once lived with his Father, with the Holy Spirit, in heaven, wherever that place may be. And he came down to earth. Literally. To do what? To be born as a helpless baby. To walk the earth with us. To show the world the love of God, and then walk steadfastly to the cross. That's how deep his love is. Even when we were sinners and in rebellion to God. In fact, Scripture talks us about us being God's enemies. What did Jesus do? He said, I love you so much, I'm going to come down and rescue you. That's the whole Easter story that is about to unfold in the next few weeks. That's how deep his love is. King of kings, Lord of lords, came down to earth to be one of us, to die for our sins, that we may be reconciled to God. That's an incredibly deep love. I'm going to read something to you now, which is a true story, but it's written by somebody called James Montgomery Boyce. I'm going to read this to you as a word of encouragement, to see that this is real. This Christ indwelling in us, so much so that we understand and we live the love of God in us. In the last century, when Napoleon's armies opened a prison that had been used by the Spanish Inquisition, they found the remains of a prisoner who had been incarcerated for his faith. The dungeon was underground. The body had long since decayed. Only a chain fastened around the ankle bone cried out his confinement. But this prisoner, long since dead, had left a witness. On the wall of his small, dismal cell, this faithful soldier of Christ had scratched a rough cross with four words surrounding it, in Spanish. Above the cross was the Spanish word for height. Below it was the word for depth. To the left was the word width. And to the right, the word length. Clearly, this prisoner wanted to testify to the surpassing greatness of the love of Christ, perceived even in his suffering. That's real. That's somebody who knew that Christ lived in him, who understood something of the depth, the width, the length of God's love, even in suffering. So it's for us to know that this morning. Our God's an awesome God. And he lives in us. He's deposited in us the Holy Spirit and this incredible gift of transforming love. And finally, Paul prays that this experience of the Holy Spirit living in us, this fullness of God, that it would do something in us and start moving outward in our transformation so that we experience the fullness of God again, so that people in the world can see the love of God through us. Let your light shine, says Jesus. What light? The light of God's love. It's in people who are following Jesus. The Bible says so. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. See, that's God's work in our lives. When we come to faith in Christ, when we are born again, born of the Spirit, that's the work that starts taking place in us. We go back to the video. That's the transformation. Caterpillar to butterfly. In conclusion, Galatians 2:20, Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What does that tell us? That every believer is a new creation in Christ. Every believer. A new creation because of what God has done in that person's life. So if we look very briefly again at the video, not to show it again, but just to refer to it, it's an illustration of being born again as a Christian. By that term, remember Jesus saying that you cannot see the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, unless you are born of the Spirit, born again. What is the significance of that video this morning? Well, we can look at the caterpillar as being life on earth, what you and I are living today. We can actually look at the cocoon, in a way, as a tomb. So what did you see in the video? What happened in the tomb? There was a transformation from a caterpillar into a butterfly. What about us? When we take our final breath on earth, think about this for a moment. Think about the cocoon, the grave. God comes and there's a morph, a change from a physical human being into a spiritual being. And then think of something else. While we're on earth, we have all these issues in life to deal with. Sin knocking on our door, the world shouting at us. But what lies ahead? The butterfly realm. We fly into wherever heaven may be, the nearer presence of God. And in there, the scripture says, no more sin and crying and all the things we deal with on earth. That's past. We now live in this perfect relationship with God in heaven, in his nearer presence. Is that something to look forward to? Yes, it is. But what is the scripture for us this morning? God is saying to us, you need to be born again. You need to be a believer in Jesus Christ for this transformation to happen. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So as I finish the message this morning and we sing our next song, it's going to be an invitational song in which we sing to Christ. And we can say to him, Lord, come and rule in my heart. Come and rule in my life. So that the power of your transforming love changes me. And I become a new creation in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.